What's up? Thanks for watching, and I got another message for you. The name of the message today is Wartime Leaders, the Broken Reed versus the Strong Staff. And just to give a little bit of an introduction as to what this message is and why we need it, this isn't really a commentary on what's going on right now with the war, the conflict going on now with Russia and all those things and the leaders of the world and talking about that really. It's not about that primarily. It's more so about leaders on a smaller level in families and in churches or maybe even ministries that you may follow, whatever it may be. Something to be careful about who you follow, who you listen to, who you put any type of trust in. Now, we're not supposed to trust any man fully, but, you know, there is some people that are more of a leadership of a guide or teacher or leader in a family, in a church, whatever it may be. God has set it up so that there are hierarchies. There is supposed to be leadership. And in leadership, if it's good, can be a very big help and something good. But bad leadership can be devastating. So that's sort of about what this is about. And, you know, so if maybe you see some of the, you know, if you are supposed to be a leader and you see some of these bad qualities of a bad leader, then you can repent of those things, get right with those things, and the good qualities of a good leader, you can try to apply those to your life and grow those, ask for God's grace to grow in those things. And then also you can better recognize good leadership or bad leadership. And maybe someone that you're following or you have some trust in, and you have the option of saying, oh, you know what, this looks like a bad idea. Maybe I shouldn't be listening to this person. And it might help you to give you some discernment in that regard. So, you know, it's a number of different reasons for this message. It's important. But there's a good amount to this message, a good amount of detail. So it might be something that you're going to want to watch more than one time. Take notes. And, you know, I'll review the points at the end. Not a big review of every single point, but just the main points. And, you know, as soon as I get a chance, I'll be putting notes from everything in some place. Maybe besides Scribd somewhere else, but eventually. Alrighty, so let's get into the message. And the beginning of the message, we're going to talk about these phrases, the broken reed and the strong staff. And these are symbols in Scripture that I believe are great to use for talking about different types of leaders, okay? So, trusting in a leader, and by the way, it's called wartime leaders. So, this can apply to leaders at any time, but especially during times of, like there's going on right now, war, conflict, chaos, upheaval, you know, crazy things going on. It's very important that, you know, you understand the characteristics of a good leader during these times, because you're following someone that's a bad leader, it's going to be bad. All right. So trusting in a leader is compared to leaning on a staff for support. A bad leader, especially in time of war, who you should not put any trust in, is compared to a broken reed or a bruised reed. So let's look at this. In two passages, 2 Kings chapter 18, verses 20 and 21. 2 Kings 18:20 says, "Thou sayest, but they are but vain words, I have counsel and strength for the war. Now on whom dost thou trust, that thou rebellest against me? Now behold, thou trustest upon the staff of this bruised reed, even upon Egypt, on which if a man lean, it will go into his hand and pierce it. So is Pharaoh king of Egypt unto all that trust on him." Okay, so this was when Sennacherib sent a messenger, and this messenger was saying these things to the Jews, and he said, "Thou trustest upon the staff of this bruised reed." And the bruised reed is compared to Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. And it says, when you lean on that, if a man lean on that, it will go into his hand and pierce it. So it's like you try to put your weight on a staff, right? Let's say it looks, here's the thing, it has the appearance of, that looks like a staff that I can lean on, that I can put my trust in. But then when you go to lean on it, it breaks and the splinter, it splinters and it pierces through your hand. It's going to cause a lot of pain. Okay, so it's one more passage that's very similar. In Isaiah chapter 36, verse 6, Isaiah 36, 6 says, Thou trustest in the staff of this broken reed on Egypt, whereon if a man lean, it will go into his hand and pierce it. So is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to all that trust in him. Okay, so trusting in this leader, this king, is likened unto putting your hand, trusting in a staff, a broken reed, leaning on it, and it piercing your hand. Okay, so that's this principle of the broken reed being a bad leader that will let you down, lead you in the wrong direction. Trusting in a bad leader in time of war or trouble will cause much pain. The broken reed cannot support the weight of any who try to lean on them. This is why they must be proven before the time of trouble comes. It's not the time to find out whether this is a broken reed or not after there's chaos and trouble and war or whatever. It's time to prove it beforehand. But the time of trouble will reveal whether the leader is a broken reed or a strong staff. Okay, so this is why they must be proven before the time of trouble comes. There will be much more pain if you wait to discover that this staff is a broken reed until the time of trouble happens. It's going to be a lot worse until you wait till things, you know, are falling apart, a time of trouble, and then you find out, oh man, this is a bad leader. It's going to be a lot worse for you. Now, on the other hand, a good leader is a strong staff that can be leaned on for support. In Scripture, those who lean on a strong staff for support in Scripture are the blind, weak, and elderly, right? So they need something to lean on. If they're blind, if they're weak, they're elderly, they need a staff to put their full weight and trust on. Okay, so let's look at that in Scripture. 2 Samuel chapter 3, verse 29. 2 Samuel 3, 29 says, "Let it rest on the head of Joab and all his father's house, and let there not fail from the house of Joab one that hath an issue, or that is a leper, or that leaneth on a staff, or that falleth on the sword, or that lacketh bread." So the one that leaneth on a staff, this could be someone that was blind, you know, right? Because it talks about lepers, one that has an issue, these types of things. Someone that's blind or elderly, they lean on a staff. And then another one is in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 21. Hebrews 11, 21 says, "By faith Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff." And some say he was in his bed and whatever, leaning off the side of his bed and his staff, whatever. The point is that he was almost dead and he had to lean on the staff for support because he was elderly. And, you know, that doesn't mean that, you know, applying it to everyone else, that you have to be, you know, blind, weak or elderly to need this strong staff of a leader for support. It just means that the way God has designed things is that, you know, you look over and over in Scripture that believers are called sheep and they need a shepherd. And the great shepherd and bishop of our souls is Jesus Christ. But he has also placed under him pastors and teachers and leaders to help the sheep, because when you smite the shepherd, the sheep are scattered, and they do need leadership. And there's different stages also of growth that talks about in Scripture. Babes in Christ that need the milk of the word, and then when they become a full age, having more discernment, they have strong meat. So there's not everyone is at the same stage of growth. So if you're a babe, you need more help, you're going to have leaders, teachers, these types of things. So that structure is there. God has placed it there not to harm, but to help. And things that are in proper order and structure are for protection, not for tyrannical control, right? That's when things get out of whack. Okay. But when there's no order and no structure, it's chaos, and that's bad too. So we don't want either extreme. We don't want chaos and we don't want tyranny. Just things in proper order. Okay. So anyways, we have the two different symbols, the bruised, a broken reed and the strong staff that can be leaned upon with their full weight, and it won't break and won't pierce you through your hand and cause pain. And now you test that strong staff in time of peace when there's nothing really going on. You see, you recognize the characteristics of the strong staff. You put your full weight on it and test it as much as you can. Then you know when a time of war, time of trouble comes, you can lean all your weight on that reed and it's that staff, and it's not going to break. It's not going to pierce you through your hand. But with the broken reed, that's a different story. Okay? So these are the two different types of leaders. Now we're going to get into the points. Okay? Now we're going to look at the characteristics of a broken reed versus a strong staff, the bad leader versus good leader. And we have 9 points to cover. And within each of those 9 points are other points within those points, categories of points. Okay? So let's get into it. Let's look at the characteristics of a broken reed versus a strong staff. Number one, the strong staff is not emotional. Okay? Not emotional. Led by emotions, overly emotional, these types of things. And to talk about that, we're going to go through describing what the characteristics of the broken reed in regards to being emotional. The broken reed is easily provoked. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13:5, charity is not easily provoked. It doesn't take much for the broken staff to be provoked, to set them off, for them to get angry, to fly off the handle, and to lose control of their emotions. Just takes a little bit, and they're provoked. And the Bible says if you have charity, that's not what's going to happen. Next, the broken reed is quick to anger. Titus 1:7 says, for a bishop must be not soon angry, right? And so the bishop is a pastor, right? is a pastor. But again, this can be any type of leader. This could, in regards to a father or whatever it is, it's good for them not to be quick to anger. And it, you know, sort of like the easily provoked thing, but this specifically saying not soon angry is it doesn't take much for them specifically to get angry. And they're just angry really quick. And, the Bible talks about anger resting in the bosom of fools. It's just kind of sitting there under the surface. And then, you know, something happens, maybe not even that big, something not even that big of a deal. And next thing you know, they're just angry. Not good. The broken reed is not able to control his spirit. Proverbs 16:32 says, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh the city. Okay, so we see this again, which is very related, not quick to anger, right? So it says slow to anger. That's something to be good. The broken reed is not slow to anger, they're quick to anger, but it also says he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh the city. Okay, so ruling your spirit means you have control over your emotions. And broken reeds, bad leaders, they cannot control their emotions. They're always, maybe they're not even, they are quick to anger and flying off the handle. And they just seem very unsettled as well, though, emotional or up and down. They're depressed. They're angry. They're this, they're that. They're, you know, their passions control them. They're not calm, level-headed, clear, sober, clear-minded. You can tell that they're very emotionally unstable. That's not a good leader. That's not someone that you want to follow and put any trust in, because it's going to... It's sort of like following a wave tossed about the sea. It's chaos. They're not going to be able to guide through the chaos because their mind is chaos. And specifically, actually, their emotions. If they're not under control, then that means think about this. When things are chaotic, it's a time of war, time of trouble. If their emotions are out of control in normal times, imagine what's going to happen when there's a time of war or time of trouble, right? And there's all kinds of crazy things going on. Every little thing is going to get them in their emotions. They're going to be up and down, and it's going to be very, very stressful. And they're not going to be able to think. And by the way, when you're flooded with emotions, you can't think clearly. Okay? And you become irrational. And when you can't think clearly, you become irrational, you're not going to make good decisions. And if the broken reed is supposed to be a leader, they're not making good decisions, and they're passing this off onto other people that may follow them, it's going to lead you in the wrong direction, and the consequences are going to be bad. So be very careful of that, someone that is not able to control their spirit, their emotions. Now, in contrast, the strong staff, the good leader, has temperance. They are able to control by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And by the way, I do need to say this. Make sure the leader is, the strong staff is going to be saved. They're going to be born again. Okay? Because especially in times of things that are going on, things get crazy, time of trouble and war, you do not want to be listening to lost people. Now, they can't have, you know, the Bible says the children of this world are wiser than the children of light. In some regards, there are some things that they're more wise and they understand things. The Bible says, be wise as serpents. So you can get things from the lost world and learn things, and you should pay attention and be aware of the signs of the times and using discernment and stuff like that. But when it comes to the end of the day, the big picture, spiritually speaking, you do not want to follow lost people, lost leaders. They should be born again. And here's one of the reasons. If you have the Holy Spirit, one of the fruits of the Spirit, it says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is, and it lists love, joy, peace, right? And then what? Is temperance, right? So temperance is, you know, some people you describe it as self-control, but really it's control over your spirit, your emotions, and your actions through the power of the Holy Ghost, because we have no confidence in the flesh. It's not of our own strength and not of our own self controlling us. It's through yielding to the Spirit of God and then controlling and being temperate in all things through the power of the Spirit. Another verse about that would be Titus 1, 7 and 8, for a bishop must be temperate. Again, that's another characteristic that a leader should have, is they're temperate. They have control. Like I said, over their emotions, that's what we're talking about, right? They're not emotional. They have control of their emotions. They can govern it. They can control if they get angry or sad or upset, letting their emotions flood and affect their decisions. They have it under control, and they're not, don't let it fly off the handle. That's temperance. That's being temperate. And like I said, it's by the power of the Spirit. So that's pretty much it with that. You know, someone, again, who is emotional, very bad idea to have them in a position of leadership. So if you see someone that's like that and they're all up and down and all over the place, they're emotionally unstable, steer clear. It's not a good idea. All right. So, next point is number two, the strong staff is not fearful. The strong staff, good leader, is not fearful. But in contrast, the broken reed, bad leader, is fearful, is easily, and these are different characteristics, easily scared. Proverbs 28:1 says, the wicked flee when no man pursueth. Right? It's like, no, they're running away, and no one's chasing them. It just takes a little bit for them to get afraid and scared. And why is that important? Because if you are born again, you trust in God, you shouldn't be scared of anything or anyone. That's a fact. And sometimes bad leaders are scared. They're easily scared. And if someone's easily scared, hey, I'm not going to knock them and, you know, put them down, but they don't need to be in a position of leadership. Okay, they need to get out. So they Broken Reed's Easily Scared. Here's another one. Scared of Conflict. Broken Reed is scared of conflict. Here's a verse, a passage from 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 10 and 11. And the Philistine said, I defy... This is when, Goliath was challenging the armies of Israel and King Saul, right? And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now Saul, King Saul, he is a great example of a broken reed, a bad leader. Saul, King Saul, was a bad leader, and he exhibits many of the characteristics we're talking about here. And one of the things was he was scared of conflict. He was scared of Goliath. He was scared to go down and fight. He's, you know, Goliath is threatening in the entirety of Israel. No, none of his men will fight. He won't go down and fight, and he's hiding scared. And he went off to hide in his house in Delaware, right? Just kidding. But no, he was scared, though. He was scared of conflict. And some leaders are scared of conflict. Now, some leaders love conflict, in contrast. Again, we don't want to be in that either. They just love fighting, always love stirring up trouble. They love, attacking people. Then when they get blowback, and they pretend like they're a victim and they're a martyr. Oh, everyone's attacking me. It must be because I'm so holy and I'm so righteous. That's why everyone's always attacking me. Oh, everyone hates me so much because I'm so holy. No, it's because you're a jerk and you're a proud and you're always trying to stir up trouble and attacking people and using bombastic language and insulting people and all these other types of things. And you love fighting. No, it has nothing to do with you being a victim. You're causing the conflict. Now, so we're not talking about someone like that. But there are people who are on the other end of the spectrum scared of conflict. And that shouldn't be the case when it comes to being a good leader. Because if you're a leader, there's going to be conflict. And the Bible talks about this over and over again. It says that we are in warfare. It says endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. It says war a good warfare. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Over and over again, it's talked about we're in a war, a spiritual war, right? So there's going to be conflict. Can't be scared of conflict. Here's another one. And the Bible specifically says this about false teachers, which are called hirelings in the Bible. Someone that's just doing it for the money. What's the characteristic that you see someone's doing it just for the money? Look at right here, John chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. John 10, 12 says, but he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. So this leader, this hireling, does not care for the sheep, those that he's supposed to be watching over. When he sees the wolf coming, he runs away. He's scared of the conflict because part of being a shepherd and a leader is to be able to confront and fight wolves and sometimes kick them away from the sheep. That's part of being a leader. And if you're scared of doing battle with the wolves, then you need to get out of position of leadership because you don't belong there. And what's going to happen is you are going to allow the sheep to be destroyed and devoured by the wolves because you're scared of the conflict and you don't care. And that shows you don't care about the sheep. You care more about what happens to you. So you run away. All right. So broken reed is scared of conflict. The broken reed is scared of adversity. Proverbs 20 verse 4. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Ooh, it's cold out. You know, there's adverse conditions. Oh, you got to go through some suffering and adversity and things that might be a little bit rough. Yeah, too bad. You do. And when you're a leader, even more so, right? And sometimes you have to go through some real strong adversity. But that's the part of a big part of being a leader. And one of the things that they talk about, you know, in the prepping world or people that train with, firearms and stuff is if it ain't raining, it ain't training. Because it's easy for you to train on a flat range, you know, on a sunny day with perfect weather. It's a lot different in more realistic conditions if you train when it's raining out, when it's snowing, when it's cold. Those are the types of things, because that's going to prepare you for any type of situation. And it's all about adversity. And it's the same thing. You can apply that principle to any leader. They cannot be scared of adversity. And you notice the sluggard says, oh, I know, I can't do it. And they just won't even do it. Here's another one. Scared of chaotic events. The broken reed is scared of chaotic events. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 5. This is talks about the characteristic of war. Okay, you can't escape this. There will be war. And we're talking about, you know, primarily spiritual war, right? Which involves preaching and teaching and doctrine and taking a stand for the truth and all these things and contending for the faith against false teaching and false doctrine, right? But one of the characteristics of war is things can get pretty chaotic, pretty crazy. Look at this description in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 5. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise and garments rolled in blood. Think about that description. That is a description of battle of war. Confused noise and garments rolled in blood. That's what happens in war. And if you're scared of confused noise and all kinds of crazy stuff going on and getting your garments, your clothes dirty a little bit and rolled in blood, you're scared of blood. Cursed be he that keepeth back his sword from blood, the Bible says. If that's you, you need to get out of positional leadership. And it's because that's what the broken reed is. They're scared of the chaos of war. And it gets chaotic. And you got to embrace that, right? I remember hearing about some special forces, some Green Berets talking. And they said that they were trained that when they heard gunfire, to run towards the gunfire. Not that they're trying to get shot, but they get close to that direction where the battle is, and it's better than them running away from it. They go and try to find out where it's coming from and stop it. And that's how we should be, spiritually speaking, running, if you're a leader, running towards the gunfire, towards the battle, because we are trying to protect those that are under the leadership. You don't run away from it. You're not scared of the chaos. All right? Okay, so in contrast, the strong staff is, the good leader is bold. The Bible says, Proverbs 28:1, but the righteous are, remember we read earlier, the wicked flee when no man pursueth. Well, the other part of the verse is, the righteous are bold as a lion. Okay, now you think about a lion, and a lion's running around. Is the lion really scared of any other animal? No. They're bold. They're not scared of anything. They are charging right into any conflict that's going to happen. They are not scared. They're bold. And we should be bold for the gospel, for Jesus Christ, not ashamed, and also not afraid to stand, speak the truth, stand for the truth, anything like that. We should not be fearful. So the righteous are bold as a lion. Another one. I got to try to get through all these points. Courageous. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verses 7 and 8, 2 Chronicles 32, 7 says, be strong and courageous. Be not afraid, right? So strong and courageous is contrasted against being afraid and dismayed, being fearful. Be strong and courageous, be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for the multitude that is with him. For there be more with us than with him. Remember, the Bible says in Romans 8, if God be for us, who can be against us? With him is an armor of the flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And that's what helps you to be courageous. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. Now think about this. This is how Hezekiah was being a strong staff that the people could lean on. And see how it's describing it? It says the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah. So you got to understand, if you're a leader, that people will hear your words. they'll be waiting for the leader to, you know, give them some direction, and they will rest themselves. They'll try to put their weight and trust on those words. And if they're good words, they're edifying words, then it'll hold them up, right? Like the strong staff. But if it's the broken reed, it's going to break and pierce their hands. It's not going to help them. So the words that a leader speaks is tied together with them being a strong staff. And so if they can rest upon your words, and it, instead of making them afraid and dismayed, it makes them feel strong and courageous, that it means you are being a strong staff. And your words are a strong staff for people to lean on. The people rested upon Hezekiah the king's words like you lean on a staff. All right. The strong staff has love for God and neighbor. Again, all this is under the heading of the strong staff is not fearful. Okay? Instead, the strong staff has love for God and neighbor. 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because feareth torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. So if the strong staff leader has love, it will cast out fear. And so they have love for God, love for neighbor, love for everyone. And they're not going, that means they're not going to be fearful. If they're fearful, it means they may be lacking in love. Next point, they have faith. Again, it's contrasted against fear. Luke chapter 8, verse 50 says, but when Jesus heard it, he answered him saying, fear not, believe only. There's the contrast, okay? Believe only, that's the faith. Fear not against that, okay? So fear versus faith. If you have faith, you're not going to fear. And if you have in faith in the Word of God, in Jesus Christ, in the Word of God, that's the faith that you need. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If you have faith, you're not going to fear. If you have love, you're not going to fear. Okay? Not going to be fearful. And this also translates to helping other people not to fear. Okay? So this is all in contrast to love, the faith, all these, the bold, being bold, courageous, instead of fearful. Okay? Let's move on to the next point. The strong staff is, number three, not hasty. The strong staff is not hasty. Being hasty is a characteristic of a broken reed, bad leader. Bad leaders are hasty. In which way? Well, the broken reed is hasty to make decisions. Proverbs 21:5 says, the thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but every one that is hasty only to want. So the hasty are very quick to make decisions, not really thinking things through. And what does it say? Everyone that is hasty only to want, to having lack. It says that the hasty eventually ends up not having the things that they need because they were making foolish decisions because they were too quick to make the decisions. So a broken reed will be hasty to make decisions, very quick to do it. Another one is hasty with their words. Proverbs 29:20. Seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There is more hope of a fool than him. Okay? So being hasty in your words, you are very, you know, the broken reed is very quick to answer people, very quick to talk, slow to listen to other people. They just want to talk and talk and be the first one to say something. And quick to answer people instead of just, again, sitting there, listening, thinking about things, and then giving an answer. That is different than being hasty with your words. Another one is quick, the broken reed is quick to jump to conclusions. And that's very, very important right now. Lots of people jump to so many conclusions. They think that they know what they're talking about, and they do not. And they are not. And what's crazy is when you're ignorant, you don't even know that you're ignorant of your ignorance. right? So, quick to jump to conclusions, Proverbs 18:17 says, "He that is first in his own cause seemeth just, but his neighbor cometh and searcheth him." Okay, so what happens? This happens sometimes that you hear one side of a story. And you hear all the story. It sounds convincing, and people tell you the who, what, where, when, and why. And you go, oh, wow, that's crazy that that happened. I can't believe it, blah, blah, blah. And there, this person is giving you a story and a version of events, and they want you to draw a conclusion from that, the conclusion that they want you to think of. And that's what the mainstream media does to us today, all across the world. They want you to follow their narrative, their story they're trying to spin, and get you to follow that, and to draw the conclusions that they want to lead you to. Right? But then what does it say? But his neighbor cometh and searcheth him. It means, but guess what? There's another side to the story. There's always two sides to the story. And in world events, there's many sides of the story. In fact, they try to make you think there's always just two sides, and you got to pick a side. And if you don't pick a side, well, if you pick one, don't pick either side, you must be supporting one side. Oh, if you don't overly support exactly the side that we say, you must be supporting the other side. It's a bunch of garbage. It's Hegelian dialectic, divide and conquer. It's thesis versus antithesis equals synthesis. Problem, reaction, solution. Over and over again, this formula has been used over and over and over again. And people just still aren't catching on. Amazing. Even after the past 2 years, people still aren't catching on. And the same, governments and media that were talking about all these other things the past 2 years, now all of a sudden, oh, they must be telling the truth about everything going on now. You are, sorry, thick in the head. You are not thinking straight. You're not thinking right. You need to back up, think of these things through a little bit, stop jumping to conclusions, and realize that you don't have the entire story. So, again, but this applies to anything. Jumping to conclusions before you have all the information that you can is a very bad idea, and it's the sign of a bad leader, especially if they keep doing it over and over again. They're just they always make assumptions. They jump to conclusions. They think they know more than they do. It's a bad characteristic. It's a bad habit. Here's another verse, not gathering all the facts before making a decision. Kind of related to that, right? Proverbs 18:13, he that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. You're giving an answer, you're giving a conclusion before you hear a matter. Before you hear the entire matter, not just a part of it, not just one side, not just maybe a binary two sides, maybe there's a bigger picture. And people are so quick to give an answer. Guess what? Sometimes you don't need to give an answer. Why does everyone always have to give an answer? And they're so quick to give an answer and want to act like they know what they're talking about and they need to give their opinion. Well, guess what? Maybe you don't know squat. And then you got egg on your face and you're sitting out here, talking about things. And then the next day is disproven. It was shown to be fake. Well, now what? Now you're gonna say sorry that you were quick to jump to conclusions? Oh, you're not. You're just going to pretend that never happened, move on, and pretend like we all didn't see that and we're supposed to continue to listen to you? No, I'm not going to listen to you because you don't know what you're talking about. You don't know what you're doing. You're jumping to conclusions. You don't gather all the facts beforehand. And you're trying to give an answer before you understand what you're talking about. Characteristics of a bad leader. Don't follow that person. Instead, in contrast, the strong staff is slow to speak, quick to listen. James chapter 1, verse 19. James 1, 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak. And you know, in case you don't understand, this obviously is talking about conversations between people, right? This doesn't apply to preaching. You preach in a church, on the street, wherever it is. It doesn't matter. Preaching is preaching. and you should be preaching. Paul the Apostle preached so long that someone fell asleep and fell out the window, and then after that he ended up preaching till midnight. It's not talking about preaching. It's talking about conversations with people. Okay? And the Bible says, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak. So if someone is talking, don't be quick to interrupt, offer your opinion, interject, all these other types of things. Just shut your mouth, be quick to hear, swift to hear, and slow to speak. You don't have to jump and say something right away. Just be quiet and wait. Wait till someone has completed their entire thought before saying something. Why do you have to be so quick to say something? And that is a characteristic of a bad leader if they do that. But the strong staff is swift to hear, slow to speak. And when they speak, it's with wisdom. And it's going to be a weighty opinion because they're not always just throwing out everything and hoping something sticks. The strong staff studies a matter before answering. Proverbs 15:28. The heart of the righteous studieth to answer. One of the biggest problems we see, I'm from America, so I'm talking about my experience here. I'm sure it occurs in other places in the world, but in here I've seen is that people love to pretend like they know what they're talking about here. Always. They always have to act like they know what they're talking about. There's even, you know, these funny videos that people make where they go to interview people on the street and they make up a news story that didn't even happen. They ask for people's comments on it, and people are commenting on things and offering up their opinion. They're like, oh, what do you think about this that just happened? It's something crazy that didn't even happen. They're like, oh yeah, it's crazy, blah blah blah, and they start offering their opinion on something that didn't even happen. Why? Because I guess they can't bear the thought of just saying, oh no, I didn't hear that happened. I don't know anything about it. I'm just not going to say anything. I don't have an opinion because I don't even know. Instead, they pretend that they know what happened. They pretend that they know what they're talking about. Everyone has to pretend like they know what they're talking about. And you know how many people actually study before they answer something? Very, very small amount of people. Most people don't know what they're talking about. That's just a fact. People love to repeat things, and that's what people are trained to do going through public schooling, government indoctrination. They are trained to, you have an answer in the textbook, you repeat the answer word for word, you get an A. And now you're a repeater. Oh, you hear what's on the news? You repeat it to other people as if you have an informed opinion. No, you're just repeating what someone just said on a TV screen and acting like you're informed and you know what you're talking about and you don't have any idea. How about you go back and study history and learn the background of many different things before you even offer a comment on what you're talking about? How about you spend some time studying the background of a certain subject that was talked about in the news when they just give you one little super biased and twisted perspective and you just repeat that and act like you know what you're talking about? You don't. And it's the same thing when it comes to stuff about the Bible. People love to act like they know what they're talking about and say this and say that and blah, blah, blah. And how much have they studied? Very little. But the heart of the righteous studieth to answer. It means they study and make sure they know what they're talking about before they give answers to people. And guess what? You know what's okay? You know what's okay? For you to not give an answer when someone asks you something and you don't know what you're talking about, just shut your mouth and say, I don't know. Why can't you just say, I don't know something? Man, is that frustrating. If you don't know, you don't have to pretend you do. Stop it. Okay? Make sure you study before you open your mouth. And that's a huge thing. Again, that's what a good leader does. Studies before they give an answer. One more thing is the strong staff has wisdom. And by the way, there's a big difference between wisdom and knowledge. You can fill your head with knowledge all you want at any time. That doesn't mean you have wisdom. One aspect of wisdom is knowing how to apply knowledge. You know, the Bible says that the wise concealeth knowledge. That's right. They don't always just say everything they know. In fact, the Bible says a fool poureth out foolishness. He utters all his mind, everything that is in his mind. Well, the wise, they don't always do that. They wait, and they watch, and they listen. And when it's time, they'll say something. And if they don't need to, they'll keep silent. That's wisdom. Knowing when to use knowledge, how to apply it, in what situation, in what circumstance, in what way. That's wisdom. And that comes with experience and time and age and practice. You don't have wisdom right out your mother's womb. And you don't have wisdom the first day that you're out of your mother's house. Okay? Wisdom comes over time. The strong staff has wisdom and uses it to apply knowledge when giving an answer. Proverbs 15:2, the tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. Oh, blah, 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 blah. And they always have to talk and talk and talk. And oh, and they want to tell everyone. And it's like they want to show off. Look at how much I know and what I know. Great. Did anybody ask you for your opinion? That's one of the worst things that you can do, is volunteer advice to people who didn't ask. Or assume that people don't know things and then try to teach them something. Hey, let me tell you something. Let me teach you something like this. And do you have any idea what someone else knows without asking them? No. So for you to assume that someone doesn't know something, this means you're proud. And you have a much, way higher opinion of yourself and your knowledge over everyone else in the world. Because you meet someone, you talk to someone, and you start pouring out all this stuff and telling them all kinds of things when you don't even know what they know. How about you ask? How about you ask them a question first? How about you find out what they know before you assume? Again, look how much assuming and jumping to conclusions gets you into trouble. Okay? So, has wisdom and uses it to apply knowledge when giving an answer. Knowing even when to even give an answer. Sometimes you don't even give one. Say, I'm just not going to say anything. And knowing when to say it in the right situation. And what, how much to say? A little? A lot? You know, there's a lot of wisdom that needs to be used in regards to knowledge. Because the Bible says, knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. It also says, though I have all knowledge, so that I understand all mysteries, I understand the entire word of God, but I don't have charity, profiteth me nothing. So again, be careful with that. But the strong staff has his wisdom, uses it to apply knowledge when giving an answer. Okay? So that is the point number three, is the strong staff leader is not hasty. They're slow to speak, quick to listen, studies the matter before answering. They're not hasty to answer, not jumping to conclusions, not being hasty. But on the other hand, we don't want to go too far in that extreme where, you know, they're not hasty and all this other stuff. But then, point number four, the strong staff is not passive and indecisive. That's important to have those two back to back, because you could be like, well, you know, the previous point, you're not hasty, but then it's paralysis by analysis, and you're thinking way too long and trying to hyperanalyze everything, and then you never make a decision, you're passive, and that's not good either. That's not the characteristic of a good leader. You don't want to be passive and indecisive on the other extreme. All right, so let's talk about that a little bit. The strong staff is not passive and indecisive. The broken reed can't make a decision. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21. Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Okay, he said what? How long halt ye between two opinions? How long are you going to sit there and not make have an opinion either way? Not make a decision? Okay, And that's the characteristic of a broken reed, bad leader, is they can't make decisions. And they're just endlessly halting between opinions. And, oh, I don't know, this and be this and be this. But especially in time of war, it's time for strong decisions. And you know what? Sometimes some people will get offended. Some people will get upset. But sorry, that's what happens when it's time to take charge and make strong decisions. Some people are going to get upset. Some people are going to get offended. It doesn't matter because decisions need to be made. And it could be life or death sometimes. Okay, and that's the reality of there needing to be a strong leader. A good, strong staff leader cannot be passive and indecisive, especially when it comes to a time of trouble and war. Because strong decisions need to be made. They absolutely have to be made. And sometimes they're painful. And sometimes it requires sacrifice. And sometimes adversity and all these other types of things. And it's not the time to worry that, uh-oh, someone's going to get upset. What are they going to think? Can't worry too much about that. You just got to make the decision. Okay? So the broken reed can't make a decision. Again, the broken reed is not confident and inspiring confidence in others. Okay? So let's look at a passage about this. And in Numbers chapter 13, verse 30 through 14, chapter 14, verse 3. But Numbers 13:30 says, "And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it.' But the men that went up with him said, 'We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we.' And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, 'The land through which we have gone to search it, it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and of all, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sights as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto him, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in the wilderness. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt?'" Okay, so what happened in all this? Well, Caleb had the right attitude. He was being a good leader. He said, he stilled the people and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it," because he had confidence in God. He said, "We can go. Let's go get the land. Let's take this mountain." And he had confidence. But all the other people, the bad leaders, the ones who went to spy out the land, they gave the evil report. They were afraid. And when they had said these words and they gave the evil report, it inspired fear and doubt in everyone else. And it spread like a disease among all the people. And that is the danger of a broken reed, bad leader. If they don't have confidence, and we're talking about in God, if they're fearful, if they're doubting and these types of things, and they express that to the people that are trusting in them and looking to them for leadership, it's going to spread. All the doubt and the fear and the worry is going to spread among all the people that are looking to that broken reed. And that's what's going to cause a lot of pain. And so it's very dangerous for, like I said, you got to test out the broken reed to see if it's a broken reed before the time of trouble. Because when the time of trouble comes, all of a sudden the broken reed is expressing this doubt and this worry and this fear. Now it's spreading among all the people. Now you got yourselves a big problem. And it's going to cause a lot of pain. And bad things are going to happen. And bad decisions will be made. Because it's based on fear, worry, and doubt. Okay? So I hope you see that it's important for the strong staff to be confident and inspiring confidence in others. The broken reed is not confident, does not inspire confidence in others, but instead inspires doubt, fear, worry, those types of things. All right, next point. It's under this point of not passive and indecisive. The broken reed, it allows evil to thrive unchallenged. Let's look at this couple verses here. 1 Samuel 2:12. Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord. Okay, so we're talking about Eli and his sons. It says his sons were wicked. 1 Samuel 2:17. Wherefore the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for the men abhorred the offering of the Lord. People were getting really upset, being turned away from God, because Eli's sons were defiling the worship, doing very bad, wicked things, and Eli was not dealing with it. He did not deal with them swiftly and discipline them and take them out of that position like he should have, and he didn't deal with them firmly and confront them. He just allowed them to go unchallenged. Well, God was not happy about that. And God said to Eli, 1 Samuel 2:29, wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice and at mine offering, which I have commanded in my habitation, and honorest thy sons above me. God said to Eli, you have honored your sons above me. You have placed them higher than me. And because of that, you allowed them to sin and do all this wickedness. You didn't stop them, discipline them, and get them out and stop them from doing what they're supposed to, you know, what they were doing. And you allowed evil to thrive unchallenged. That's the result of a passive, indecisive leader, a broken reed. Okay? Instead, the strong staff is strong in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 16:13. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. The Bible says, be strong in the Lord. So strong staff, those leaders should be strong. And it means, you know, it doesn't mean they have the giant muscles. It means they are spiritually, mentally, emotionally strong. Next point, the strong staff has convictions and takes a stand against evil. They have convictions based on the final authority of the Word of God. They have convictions, and they take, and those convictions make them take a stand against evil. Psalm 94:16 says, who will rise up for me against evildoers, or who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? And that's what a strong staff leader should do. Stand up for God against the workers of iniquity, against evil, sin, wickedness. The strong staff leader needs to take a stand and doesn't care what happens as a result and what people are going to say and what the consequences are. They take a stand against evil. They're not passive and indecisive. They are confident in the Word of God. Acts 28:31, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. That's talking about Paul, right? So he was preaching and teaching with all confidence, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God. And another one is, you know, the strong staff is confident God answers prayer. 1 John 5:14 says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Okay? So you, the strong leader, has confidence that if they pray to God, ask something according to his will, God hears and God answers prayer. And that inspires, that's where their confidence comes from. Confidence in answered prayer, in the Word of God, in God. It's not confidence in themselves and their own natural abilities, that they're physically strong or they're so intelligent or anything like that. I'm not talking about confidence in that way. I'm talking about confidence in God and the Word of God and all those things. Okay? So, strong staff leader is not passive and indecisive. Next point, number five, the strong staff is not selfish. The strong staff leader is not selfish. But the broken reed, they're selfish. Again, and you know, just want to say one thing real quick, is that, you know, the broken reed, bad leader, doesn't have to exhibit every single one of these characteristics, but they could have, you know, some of them more than some than others. Maybe they might lean in one direction, because again, in one direction of a bad leader, you have the tyrannical, overpowering, abusive type of bad leader. And then on the other hand, you have the, passive, indecisive, allows evil to thrive bad leader. And there's, you know, you can mix and match some of these characteristics, but these are some of the red flags of bad leadership. All right, so the strong staff is not selfish. The broken reed is selfish and doesn't think of others and put others before himself. Philippians chapter 2, verse 4 says, Philippians 2, 4 says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. That's very simple, right? Straightforward. But they're not always thinking about themselves, but thinking about other people. Very important characteristic for a good leader is they're thinking about other people. The bad leader is just thinking about himself all the time. And what can he get? And his thing. And his, even in ministry, I was talking about, if you ever listen to some preachers and you hear them tell a lot of stories, they use illustrations and stories in their messages over and over and over again that are stories about themselves and things that have happened in their life and things about their ministry and all this other stuff. And they're always talking about themselves. And it's like, it's okay. Sometimes, you know, you want to talk about your experience, but it's like over and over and over again. And they're always thinking about themselves instead of thinking about other people. So that's a red flag. The broken reed is not willing to sacrifice for others. And a great example of this is Nabal. His name means fool. He was a bad leader. He was the husband of Abigail. 1 Samuel chapter 25, verse 10 and 11. 1 Samuel 25, 10 says, and Nabal, remember, David's servants came to him to ask if they could have some food and stuff, and he refused, right? So what did he say? And Nabal answered David's servants and said, who is David? And who is the son of Jesse? There be many servants nowadays that break away every man from his master. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my flesh that I have killed for my shears and give it unto men whom I know not whence they be? He was selfish, not willing to sacrifice for others, not willing to give and give to others and give up anything that was his. He's like, I'm not giving away anything that's mine. And because of that decision, he was this close to getting killed. Because as soon as David heard that, he's like, every man gird up his sword. He's like, we're going to kill him. And everyone there, if you see his answer. And so Nabal almost got destroyed because of that. Just because of his selfishness. So see how dangerous it can be in a leader. But fortunately for him, Abigail intervened. Now, eventually, Nabal did end up dying. But the point is, he was not willing to sacrifice for others, and it could have devastating consequences. Instead, the strong staff is willing to lay down his life for those he loves. John chapter 15, verse 13, Jesus said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. That's that sacrifice, laying down his life for those he loves. If someone is a good leader, strong staff leader, they will be willing to lay down their life. You know, and it may come to death, it may happen, but, you know, they're also willing to lay down their life in ways of, you know, sacrificing time and energy and things that people need help with. Laying down their life for others. They want to help others. And if it comes to giving up their life, then that's what if that's what they need to do, they'll do it because they're the strong staff. Jesus said in John 10, and this is following the example of Jesus. He said, John 10, 11, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Okay, so Jesus gave his life for us. He died for our sins. He endured the contradiction of sinners. He suffered all the mockery and the attacks and the weight of the world on his shoulders. He took our sin, took the punishment for our sin. He was squeezed in the Garden of Gethsemane, sweating drops of blood. He was whipped. He was pierced in his sides, nailed to a cross, crown of thorns, took the wrath of God, all these things, and he did it for us. So he was willing to give, it says, he giveth his life for the sheep. And if someone is supposed to be a leader, they should be following in his example and willing to give his life for the sheep. But if they're selfish, they won't want to do that. All right. Next point. Number six. The strong staff is not proud. The strong staff is not proud. Before I get into this, strong, all capital letters, strong extra warning on pride. Woo! See if you can see that flashing on the screen. Strong extra warning on pride. Very important to pay attention to that. The Bible says, just as a general statement, Proverbs 16:18, pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Now this is important. Okay? Pride goeth before destruction. Because when it comes time for a time of trouble, chaos, and war, and you got the broken reed, and they're proud, pride goeth before destruction. It could lead to destruction if you're trusting in that broken reed when it comes time for the time of trouble and war. It could lead to destruction. So that's a strong warning there, okay? So the broken reed, here's some characteristics of pride. Quite a bit in here, but it's important. The broken reed thinks they know everything and never seeks any counsel. Proverbs 12:15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. And there's the destruction. There's the contrast. He that hearkeneth unto counsel, they'll get counsel as much as they can from those that are older with more wisdom, and they have for a long time. That's just their manner of life. The way of fool, though, he's always right in his own eyes, always think they know everything, never seeks any counsel. They don't need to learn. They already know. Think they know everything. And by the way, also, this is a very, very strong danger for those that are young. The Bible says that a pastor should not be a novice, right? Someone that's inexperienced, someone that's younger. It says, lest being lifted up with pride, they fall into condemnation of the devil. And so that is a danger for someone that is younger, that they think that they know everything, and you can get sucked into, you know, getting a bunch of knowledge, thinking that they know everything. It's a very big danger for young men, especially, to have this issue of this snare of pride, especially when they're gathering a lot of knowledge. Okay? I've seen this many times over and over again. This isn't just one time. I've seen this happen many times with different people. Okay? So they think they know everything, never seeks any counsel. Here's another verse, Proverbs 24:6. Oops, Proverbs 24:6. Come on. Hold on a second. There we go. Proverbs 24:6 says, oops, for by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in the multitude of counselors there is safety. So again, we're talking about, right, a time of war, time of trouble, and it says, by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war. So it's always good to get as much of that counsel as you can. Even if you do have a good amount of wisdom and knowledge, it's good to get it from, get as much as you can. And from those that are older than you, that have a lot of wisdom. Those types of things are many different sources that you can. It says in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Trying to get it from as many different places as you can. Next, the broken reed can never be wrong and must always argue. Proverbs 13:10, only by pride cometh contention. Someone that's proud is going to have contention. They're always going to argue. Some of them love arguing. Love endlessly arguing over and over again. It's because they're proud. They're never wrong. Always have to argue. And they waste a lot of their life arguing. And I see people wasting a lot of their lives arguing on social media, on Facebook and Twitter and other places, over arguing. And it goes nowhere, and it's very unfruitful. Okay? You can't reason with them. 1 Samuel 25:17 says, "Now therefore no one considered what thou wilt do, for evil's determined against our master and against all his household, for he is such a son of Belial that a man cannot speak to him." This is about Nabal again. And it says, "He's such a son of Belial that a man cannot speak to him." You can't reason with him. He doesn't want to hear it. He doesn't, it's like he's not even rational. He's so drunk on his own pride that he can't be reasoned with. That's a sign that someone's proud. That's a very, that is a broken reed. That is a bad leader if they can't even be reasoned with, right? As long as you're reasonable, you know, because some people, this doesn't absolve responsibility from crazy people who aren't a leader. I mean, man, there's some wild and crazy, irrational people who aren't leaders. And man, you can't reason with them either. Or they're saying wild things that don't make any sense. It doesn't mean you have to listen to them or follow what they say. But, you know, it's just a matter of being able to reason at all and have a discussion. Okay? The broken reed can never admit a mistake. Proverbs 28:13, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper." It's not good ever to cover your sin, make excuses for your sin, justify your sin. And if you are a leader and you do make a mistake, which inevitably will happen, it is never a good idea to pretend like you didn't make the mistake and try to justify it, make excuses. Because everyone that's following you, including in a family, your father, your husband, whatever it is, you just sit there and you pretend like you didn't make a mistake, you try to defend yourself, everyone's going to lose respect for you. Okay? You might think, oh, they're going to lose respect for me if I admit the mistake. No, they will lose way more in respect for you if you don't admit the mistake. The best thing is, as quick as you can, you admit the mistake, you apologize, you own it, and you move on. Okay? Because you're not going to go throughout life and never make a mistake. Yes, of course you will. You own it, admit it, repent of it, move on. Do not cover it up and justify it. But that's what the bad leader does. The broken reed never, they pretend, they act like they never make a mistake. And if someone tries to talk to them about it, oh boy, watch out. Okay? Next, broken reed thinks more highly of themselves than they should. Actually, you know what? This is what I wanted to reference earlier when it came to young people that think more highly of themselves than they ought to when they're young and they think they know everything. They think they have more wisdom than they do. They have none, right? They might have some knowledge. They don't have wisdom. They think more highly of themselves. That's like the novice who gets lifted up with pride in their hearts. So this thinking more highly of themselves than they should is a big danger. But it is also a danger for people that are older who are supposed to be leaders, the broken reeds. They are legends in their own minds. Romans 12:3, "For I say through the grace given unto me that every man that is among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly." So check this out. So don't think more highly of yourselves than you ought to, but think soberly. So if you think of yourselves more highly than you should, that means you're not being sober, actually. And it sounds like you're drunk off your own pride when you think more highly of yourself than you should. But to be sober is to just accept reality as it is. And that's it. Next one. The broken reed. This is all under pride, remember. The broken reed, who is proud, blames others for every problem. Always blaming other people for problems. 1 Samuel 15:19-21. "Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil and didst eat evil in the sight of the Lord?" The prophet Samuel said this to Saul. What's Saul say? And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. That was a lie. And have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. Now notice what Saul says next. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief things, which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. Now, Saul says, oh no, it's not my fault. The people are the ones that took of the spoil. As if it's not his responsibility to tell people not to take the spoil. He blames other people. Says, no, 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 it's their fault. They're the ones that took that stuff. That's the sign of a bad leader. Okay? A bad leader blames everyone else for their problems that happen. Here's another one, which is related to this. Does not take responsibility for everything as a leader should. They should take ownership. Responsibility for everything, because everything is under their authority, under their leadership. And at the end of the day, they're the ones that should be responsible. And a bad leader, the broken reed, does not take responsibility for everything as a leader should. So let's look at what Aaron said when Moses went up on Mount Sinai and the people made the golden calf and they're dancing around and committing the sin of idolatry. When Moses confronts Aaron, what happens? Exodus chapter 32, verse 21. And Moses said unto Aaron, what did this people unto thee that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them? What did they do? Why did this happen? And Aaron said, let not the anger of my Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people that they are set on mischief. For they said unto me, okay, again, Aaron is not taking responsibility. He says, oh, you know the people, they're set on mischief. They're the ones that want to sin. They're the rebellious people. They said unto me, it's all their fault. It was all their idea. He didn't take responsibility. For they said unto me, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. And I said unto them, whosoever hath any gold, let him break off, then break it off. So they gave it to me, then I cast it into the fire, and there came out this calf. Okay, then he gives one of the funniest, craziest lies in the Bible, is he said he threw everyone's gold in the fire, and a golden calf popped out. Okay, talk about crazy stories to cover up your sin. Yeah, I don't know what happened. I just threw the jewelry in and this, man, this cow just popped out. I mean, it's crazy. But he had to say this ridiculous story to avoid taking responsibility for what happened. He was supposed to be in charge. Okay? So the broken reed avoids taking responsibility. And then more so with the broken reed that is more tyrannical, they're proud, they want what? Wants total control of everything and everyone. They are tyrannical. Let me say that again. The proud broken reed wants total control of everything and everyone, tyrannical. They just want to control. And a great example we have of that in the Bible is Diotrephes. Third epistle of John, verses 9 and 10. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence, he wants to be placed before everyone. He wants to be first. And you should treat him like he is the eminent one. Place him first and the utmost loyalty to him. He must have the preeminence. Who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words. And not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Anyone doesn't follow him and do exactly what he wants, he casts them out of the church. Because he's a proud, arrogant, wants to control everything and everyone, wants complete 100% loyalty, not to God, not to Jesus Christ, not to scriptures, but to him. He will not tolerate dissent. There shouldn't be confusion and fighting and arguing, and people shouldn't be nitpicking if there's a pastor, right? Nitpicking and every little thing and stuff like that. But this authoritarian, tyrannical expanding of this authority beyond the sphere of where the proper authority is just unbiblical and tyrannical. And that's what Diotrephes is an example of. And so someone that is proud, that's what they're going to do. They are just puffed up with pride, arrogant. They think that they should do this. There's no problem for them to do that. So that's the broken reed. Instead, the strong staff is humble. Matthew 23, verses 11 and 12. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. And he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. And would apply to a leader, right? If they humble themselves, they want a great leader. It says the greatest among us shall be your servant. A leader will be a servant. A leader wants to, they don't just want to dictate what everyone does. They want to help people. They want to guide people, be an example, lead them in the right direction. People should be able to come to them for guidance and direction and wisdom and those types of things. But they should want to help people and be a servant. And saying, what can I do to help you? And that's the servant heart of a leader. Not someone who wants everyone else to wait on them hand and foot. And, they always want them, the pastor is a great example. There's some pastors that it's unreal to think about how it's the exact opposite of what this says. Let him that is greatest among you shall be your servant. They think a church is everyone in the church, their job is to serve the pastor. Everyone has different skills. And how can they work in their house, work in their car, give them this, give them that, do this for them, move this for them, move all their books and this thing and that thing. And everybody's always serving the pastor hand and foot. That's the opposite of what the Bible says. It says that he that is greatest among you shall be his servant. And the reason if the pastor, the leader, is not like that is because they're not humble, they're proud, and they think that they deserve and it's appropriate for everyone to wait on them hand and foot and to serve everyone to serve them. That's pride. Pure and simple. It's plain to see. And then the strong staff fears God and hates pride. Okay, because guess what? Look what this says in the Bible, Proverbs 8:13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy in the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. Now, what's interesting about this is it says the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Okay, we got that. So if you fear God, the way that you know you fear God is you hate evil. Great. Now, what does it give for an example of evil? Pride, arrogance, evil way, the froward mouth, do I hate? Those are examples of hating evil, right? So if you fear God, it says you will hate pride and hate arrogance. Now, if someone is proud and arrogant, guess what it's a sign of? That they don't fear God. That's right. Now, this what's confusing, though, is this can be someone that talks about the fear of God all the time. And they claim to fear the God. They might even preach that you should fear God. And fear God, fear God, fear, all fear, fear, fear all the time. But the Bible says if they're pride and arrogant, they don't hate pride and arrogance, which means they don't fear God. So guess what? They're a hypocrite. They're a liar. They don't fear God. So it's an important point to make because this is, one of the ways you can start to sharpen your discernment I hope this to be a help to you to sharpen your discernment. Because people, just because people say something or preach something, and they say they are for something or they support something, doesn't mean they do. And the Bible tells you, ye shall know them by their fruits. Well, the fruit of says, the Bible says, if they fear God, they'll hate pride and arrogance. But if they say they hate pride, but they're proud, they don't fear God. Okay, so just think about that in regards to having discernment, looking at the fruit, looking at the example, as opposed to just listening to what people just say. Because that's how you're going to help, is going to help you to identify the broken reed, bad leader that you do not want to put your trust in. And it's going to break and it's going to pierce through your hand and cause a lot of pain. Okay? So, strong staff is humble, fears God, hates pride. Okay? They're not proud. Next point. Getting closer to the end. The strong staff is point number 7, not lazy. Point number 7, the strong staff is not lazy. Okay? The broken reed is lazy. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 24. Proverbs 12, 24 says, I'm sorry, the broken reed refuses to put in necessary work. Proverbs 12, 24, the hand of the diligent shall bear rule, leader, but the slothful shall be under tribute. Look at that. It says the hard worker shall bear rule, shall be a leader, but the slothful shall be under tribute. Not a leader, under tribute. That means the paying right a tribute, a tax. A broken reed refuses to put in necessary work. They want other people to do it. That's another point I have. But they just don't want to put in the work. They just don't. They refuse to. Here's another one. They give up easily. The broken reed gives up easily. 2 Kings 13, 18 and 19. Elisha said to King Joash, verse 18, and he said, take the arrows. And he took them. And he said unto the king of Israel, smite upon the ground. And he smote thrice and stayed. And the man of God was wroth with him and said, thou should have smitten 5 or 6 times. And then hast thou smitten Syria till thou hast consumed it, whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice. Now, why is that significant? Well, Elisha, the prophet, told King Joash, king of Israel, take these arrows and hit them on the ground. Right? And he hit it only 3 times. He gave up and he stopped. Elisha got mad and said, you should have did it more, 5 or 6 times. So he gave up too early, too easily. And we can see that it was bad because Elisha got mad. And so a broken reed gives up easily. They're just, you know, they might put in some effort, but eventually they run out of steam and they give up. The broken reed makes excuses. This is one of the characteristics of someone that's lazy, is they're just a bag of excuses. Proverbs 22, 13, the slothful man saith, there is a lion without, I shall be slain in the streets, right? Some ridiculous excuse. Oh, there's a lion outside, I'm going to die if I go out there. The lion's going to get me. But the point is that he just comes up with any reason and story and excuse that he can make up to avoid having to do what he needs to do, to put in the necessary work or to do the things he's supposed to do, he's going to make an excuse and tell a story. The broken reed passes off work, his own work, to others. Now, this is different than someone who's, like when there's hierarchy, like in a military, and there's someone, or even in a company, right? You can't do everything yourself, right? So you have to delegate a lot. And some people have problem giving up control and delegating different tasks to other people. That's not what I'm talking about. That is necessary. And in fact, if you don't know how to delegate tasks to different people under your authority, then you're not going to get much done because you can't do everything yourself. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about passes off their own work to others. Things that are their responsibility that they should be doing, they pass off onto other people. the Proverbs 12, verse 27, the slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting. He didn't catch it himself. He should get his own food, hunt and catch his own food, cook it and eat it. Instead, the lazy man is cooking food he didn't catch himself. Someone else did it for him. They pass off their work on their own work onto others. In contrast, instead, the strong staff is hard working. 1 Corinthians 15:10. Look at what Paul said. Paul the Apostle said, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. So Paul the Apostle says, I worked harder than all the other apostles. And he wasn't trying to boast. He said, it's the grace of God in me, you know, and by the grace of God, I am what I am. But he said, I labored more than they all. And you talk about Paul the Apostle. He wrote most of the New Testament. He's the chiefest of the apostles. But one of the characteristics of him was he was hard working. He was tireless. He was always laboring and doing things for the kingdom of God. And he never stopped working. Disciplined. The strong staff is disciplined. Take a look at this example of Caleb in Joshua chapter 14. We'll read verses 7, 10, and 11. Joshua 14, 7 says, Caleb said, 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. So when he first came out to spy out the promised land, he said he was 40 years old. Skip ahead to verse 10. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. And he says, now I'm 85 years old. And as yet I am strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now, Caleb said, I'm just as strong now as I was when I was 40, now that I'm 85 years old, 45 years later. Now, he says for war, so he does mean physically strong. The only way that Caleb maintained that strength is through discipline. He was disciplined in keeping up his exercise, his training, whatever it is, he had discipline. The same thing applies spiritually to leaders. They have discipline. They maintain that. If they sometimes can get off track, things can get out of whack, but then they always want to get back on track. And they have discipline. They they're consistent. And we'll talk about that a little bit more. But the discipline to consistently do the things that they need to do. That Paul said, I keep my body under and bring it into subjection. Okay? That requires discipline. What is it called to be a Christian? A disciple of Christ. What's that root word of? Disciple is discipline. Okay? We should all have discipline. But especially leaders should be disciplined. Point number 8. The strong staff is not a hypocrite. This is important for leaders, okay? Number 8, the strong staff is not a hypocrite. The broken reed doesn't lead by example, okay? Because why is this important? Because this can cause so much damage to people that are trusting in this leader, and it doesn't matter, like I said, this could be a pastor, could be a father, husband, some type of leader. They're looked to as an example. And if they lead with a bad example, it can push so many people away from the truth, from the Word of God, from those types of things, and have very damaging consequences. So this not being a hypocrite is important. So the broken reed doesn't lead by example. Matthew 23:4. What did Jesus say about the Pharisees? For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. Okay, so they tell everyone else, they lay these heavy burdens on people's shoulders. Oh, you need to do this, 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 and this, and this, and this. And they tell everyone else what they need to do, but they won't even do any of it themselves. That's not leading by example. That's being a hypocrite. If you're going to tell other people to do something, you're a leader, you better be doing it yourself. Doesn't practice what they preach. Kind of tied together, right? Again, Jesus said to the Pharisees, Matthew 23:3, all therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do ye not after their works, for they say and do not. They say and tell you what to do. And Jesus said, a lot of what they say to do is right, but they don't do it. It says they say and do not. They don't do what they tell you to do. And so they don't practice what they preach. If you're a leader, you need to practice what you preach. The broken reed does not practice what they preach. The broken reed will sell out principles for gain, for money, or any other type of advantage. Exodus 23:8 says, and thou shalt take no gift, for the gift blindeth the wise and perverteth the words of the righteous. That's right. A gift can blind the judgment, the eyes of a leader, a judge, whatever it may be. And so the bad leader, the broken reed, they have no problem selling out for money or some other position or gain, whatever it could be. They have no problem selling out. They will, because they're a bad leader. They don't have any integrity, and we're talking about that next. And they will sell out. All it takes is a little bit of money, whatever it may be, and they won't stand firm. In contrast, the strong staff has integrity. Proverbs 11:3, the integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. The integrity of the upright shall guide them. Okay? So someone who is a strong staff leader has integrity. And no matter what happens, they're going to stick with the truth, their principles. They're going to practice what they preach. They are going to lead by example. They're not going to sell out. And the next point, they're going to stand. The strong staff stands for convictions regardless of consequences. And that's what happened with Job, right? All these bad things happened to Job. He lost his children and his animals and all these other things. Job 2:3. And it says, and the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in all the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. Okay? So it says, God said about Job, Job holds fast his integrity, although you move me against him to destroy him and to let all these bad things happen. He still did not cave in. He still maintained his integrity. That's the sign of a good leader, the strong staff. And finally, here we are, the final point. Point number 9, the strong staff is not unstable. Okay? The strong staff is not unstable, but the broken reed is unstable. And you do not want to trust in someone that's unstable. So the broken reed is unreliable. Proverbs 25:19 says, confidence in an unfaithful man in a time of trouble is like a broken tooth or a foot out of joint. Okay, so the broken reed, the unfaithful man, you have confidence in them in what? The time of trouble, time of war. Things are rough going on, right? And you have confidence in them, and then all of a sudden, you have confidence in them and you're trusting them, and then the time of trouble comes, and then, oh boy, bad things happen. What does it say? It's like a broken tooth. You got a broken tooth, try to bite into a hard piece of food. What's going to happen? It's going to hurt a lot, and it's not going to be any good. You're not going to be able to chew, or a foot out of joint. Your foot gets out of joint. You have a dislocated foot or shoulder, whatever it is. You try to use it. Try to walk on a foot out of joint. See what happens. Can't do it. It's going to be extremely painful, and it's going to hinder your movement, and you can't do what you want to do. Guess what? That's what a broken reed, bad leader is like. It says confidence in an unfaithful man in a time of trouble is like those things. When the time of trouble comes, it's you can't do what you should be doing, and it's going to cause a lot of pain. So again, make sure you find out if they're the unfaithful man, the broken reed, before the time of trouble. Again, next, the broken reed is disorganized. 1 Corinthians 14:40 says, let all things be done decently and in order. Decently and in order, okay? So in order means organized, right? According to the word of God, but they are organized. They're not disorganized all over the place. They know how to organize. They're not, and again, and this is in many different ways, organized in their minds, in their life, in their house, in different things that they have to do. They are disorganized. And again, you might have this problem, this issue that you need to work on and pray about. Okay, that's fine, but we're talking about a leader, okay? And it's not good for a leader to be disorganized. They should be organized so everything's done decently and in order, proper order. Order instead of chaos, right? And that's not talking about order out of chaos like the Freemasons talking about. It's just talking about order versus things being chaotic. They shouldn't be like that. And God is a God of order, right? So, the broken reed does not make things, does not think things through ahead of time and make a plan. Let me say that again. The broken reed does not think things through ahead of time and make a plan. They're kind of flying by the seat of their pants. Like I said, they're disorganized. Luke chapter 14, verse 31 and 32. Or what king going to make war against another king sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and can desireth conditions of peace. Okay, so Jesus compares this, he tells this story about a king going to make war against another king. And before they make war, they sit down, they consult, they think, and they make a plan if they can win a battle with their 10,000, their army of 10,000 against the army of 20,000. And they have to sit there, think it through, plan everything out ahead of time, make decisions ahead of time, make a plan, organize things. That's what a leader does. But a disorganized leader does not think things through. They just make a decision all willy-nilly. They don't have a plan. They don't have a vision. They're just kind of whatever. That's not a good idea. And then another one, the broken reed, is their own life and family life is not in order. That's also a red flag and a bad thing. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 4 and 5 is about the qualifications of a pastor. One that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? And you know, like I said, this is talking about a principle of a pastor. But in leadership, right? If you don't have things in order in your own house, how can you lead anyone else? Okay? This is the smallest, most basic area in life is your own family. Make sure that is in proper order before you go trying to tell everyone else and lead them and what to do and getting their things in order and trying to lead others. That's the first thing you need to focus on. Okay? So, but that's the sign of a broken reed, by the way. They're family life is not all. And I'm not talking about, you know, there's things that get out of whack sometimes and there's mistakes that people make, but you know, they try to work on it and deal with it. I'm talking about not in order at all. Instead, the strong staff has a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. A strong staff leader must have a sound mind. No, and a sound mind means not unreliable, disorganized, all over the place, not emotional. Sound mind, clear-headed, can think straight, make a plan, organize, and execute the plan. A strong staff is proven faithful. Remember what I said, though, please. Proven faithful before the time of trouble, time of war. 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And in 1 Timothy 3:10, it says, let these also first be proved. Talking about positions of leadership, pastor, deacon. And it says that, let these be first proved, found faithful. There's a period of where they're watched, they're proven, they're found whether they're faithful or not. Remember what it said earlier in the proverb, confidence in an unfaithful man at a time of trouble is like a broken tooth or a foot out of joint. So you got to find out whether it's an unfaithful man, proven, they should be found faithful, proven to be faithful before the time of trouble. I know I keep saying it, but it's important. And they should be, they should be proven faithful. And so there's a period of testing and watching and those types of things. And then after, you could say, you know what? This seems like a strong staff and not a broken reed. And now it's going to be a lot, it should work out a lot better for you than waiting, you know, and not proving and not trying to find out beforehand if they're a strong staff or a broken reed. All right, so those are the end of the points. I'm going to review the points. I'm not going to go through all the other little comments I made on it. You're going to have to go back and re-listen to it, pause it, write things down maybe. But I will list for you the 9 points of this teaching, okay? The strong staff versus the broken reed. The strong staff is not emotional. No, I'm sorry, I'll do the numbers. The strong staff is, number one, not emotional. Number two, not fearful. Number three, not hasty. Number four, not passive and indecisive. Number five, not selfish. Number six, not proud. Number seven, not lazy. Number eight, not a hypocrite. Number nine, not unstable. The broken reed is any number of combination of these 9 things. So that's the contrast between the strong staff, good leader, and the broken reed, bad leader. So I hope that was a blessing to you, informative, edifying to you. And I hope that you use this to sharpen your discernment and be careful who you trust, who you listen to, who you follow, because it's dangerous and it will get more dangerous. And deception is very thick and it will get more so in the future. Jesus said, take heed that no man deceive you and prove all things, the Bible says, and test the spirits, try the spirits, whether they are of God. Okay. So awesome. Well, thank you for watching and please like, share, subscribe, copy and paste links everywhere you can. Please leave comments. That helps everything as well. Check the description. Check out all the links down there. And keep your eye out for, Lord willing, another message on Wednesday. And thank you. God bless you and have a good day.